Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we welcome Brett Abarbanel, the executive director of the International Gaming Institute at UNLV, on how she plans to approach her new position leading one of the university's most important gaming education arms. The GGB podcast is sponsored by IGT's Money Mania, the fast-awarding linked jackpots that have hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with IGT's top-performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide-area progressive to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information. The International Gaming Institute at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas is the centerpiece of UNLV's gaming programs in which students are immersed in gaming curriculum. The IGI takes that to the next level with higher level research, classes for regulators, and focuses on several different gaming disciplines in gaming. Last year, Executive Director Beau Bernard was promoted to Vice President of Economic Development for UNLV, and Brett Abarbanel, a brilliant researcher, was named to succeed him. As a director of research since 2016, she is familiar with the inner workings of the IGI and plans to maintain and improve the operations of the Institute. She spoke with me in a conference room at the International Gaming Institute in January. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My guest today is Brett Abarbanel. Brett, it's great to see you, and congratulations on being named Executive Director of the International Gaming Institute here at UNLV.
Thank you so much, Roger. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, I met you early on when you were just a grad student, and I knew right away that there was something special there. So I'm so pleased that you got this position because it's a very important institution.
Thank you, and thank you, too. You know, when I was really starting out as a graduate student, you know, you're a graduate student, not everybody takes your call or wants to hang out with you, and you did. Yeah. So thank you so much. You've always been there, and it's really great to have known you this entire time.
Well, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for the IGI. You know, my one of my mentors, Shannon Bybee, began this institution. He was my shift boss or something when I was a dealer at the Golden Nugget in Atlantic City, and he introduced me to a lot of great people, and it's really nice to be able to see you take over for him.
Thank you. I'm very excited to take this on.
So you've been here for quite a while, so mm-hmm. As a director of research. So do you feel prepared to really take on this position?
Yes, I'm so excited. I feel like every time I go out into the world, doing the sales pitch for IGI is a breeze because there's so many incredible things that go on at this institute. And so for such a long time, I've been singing our praises. And so it's an honor, really, even to take the reins and continue that, all those programs, all those initiatives, and continue championing them.
Sure, no question. So, you know, David Schwartz introduced me to, as I said, when you were a grad student, and David's one of my favorite people. So, but I was a little disappointed when you went over to UCLA to take over their gaming program. And what made you come back here?
I have always loved Las Vegas. The first time I came here, I believe I was actually just 21, and that was it. This was such a fascinating place to come and be and work. Right. And when I went off to UCLA, you're right, I didn't betray Las Vegas. We kept our home here.
Sure, right.
There was always this expectation, I think, that I would be back. My husband didn't even move with me when I went to LA. He's like, no, we'll stay
You'll
in Las
back,
Vegas.
Right.
That's fine. But there was always, it was a great opportunity to expand what I was doing in research and really grow what I was doing there. And when the director of research position at IGI opened up in 2016, I knew that that was going to be the right move for me. So I applied. I was lucky enough to get the position, and it's just continued from there. Now here I am as executive director.
Right. So as research director, you had your hands in almost every pot. I mean, you've done research on responsible gaming, mm-hmm. on esports, mm-hmm. Regulations, operations, sports betting. So I guess that kind of makes you prepared for this job.
Yeah, this is a place where anything that falls underneath the gambling umbrella is something that IGI is interested in. This is our entire space. So we do everything from problem gambling and addiction. We've run the Nevada Problem Gambling Project since, I believe it was 2006 or 2007. It's been quite a while.
Right.
All the way up to things like macro socioeconomic impact studies and regulation discussions and kind of understanding the way that the gambling world works, whether that's industry stakeholders and everything that goes into the business of gambling, everything that might go into kind of public health issues, different policy issues. Those are all different things we're interested in. So as director of research, whenever somebody is interested in research and they came to us, that was something that I was interested in as well.
Right. And so you got a little taste of everything.
Absolutely, yes.
So how tough was it for Bo Bernard, another legend at UNLV, to give this up? I mean, this was his baby for so many years.
It is. You know, it's funny. That's it's something that's come up quite a few times. And I would like to say, right, very selfishly, that it was very easy for him because he knows it will be in good hands. But at the same time, I like to think it wasn't too difficult because Bo hasn't disappeared. Bo's not the executive director anymore. He has a fantastic new job as the vice president of economic development for UNLV, and he is spectacular at this job. He also has a handful of projects that he'll never let go of. That's one of the wonderful things about being an academic, is that you have your own particular interests, your own particular projects, and it doesn't really matter where you go in the academic world, you always keep those with you. So Bo still has a tie to IGI working on those projects.
And he's an advisor as well to you.
Yes, we've set him up as an advisor to me.
So I think, you know, it's interesting that not only do you have you you know, done some research on the academic side, but you actually are a gambler.
Yes, I am.
I was talking to Richard Schutz the other night, and he told me you're a mean seven-card stud player.
Richard is extremely cruel because he tells everybody that I'm very good at poker, which means I don't get invited to a lot of games. But yes, I love poker. I've dabbled quite a bit in sports betting as well, and especially as I've worked into the esports space, all the different ways in which gambling exists within games, video games, and in esports, that's been coming up with me as well. And then in my all academics get their own pet interests.
Yes.
I have my own. And one of them is how all gambling really has started to exist in this game space. And so one of the things I really love about playing video games, too, is the different ways in which we get to use chance and random number generators and that kind of thing, too. So I like to count that into my gambling as well.
Absolutely. Well, you also developed a handicapping system for horse racing when you were in school as
when
well.
When I was an undergrad, my senior project was trying to predict the results of horse races, and you can't do a project like that, Roger, without testing it out, right? You have to know if your program works. So I definitely tested it out at quite a few horse races. The summer after I finished my undergraduate degree, I tested it out at the Del Mar Thoroughbred Club, and I would say it was okay. Clearly, it wasn't amazing because I am here. I'm not retired on an island somewhere in the middle of the Pacific. But if I ever disappear, you'll know you know where that is.
Well, that's probably the toughest gamble of all, betting on horses.
Definitely.
I mean, it's really complicated. I have a lot of friends that have spent their lives trying to win at horse racing, and you just can't do it.
It's hard. It's fascinating. It's so complex. And then just the way that parimutuels are set up in the U.S. with different rake systems, it is extremely hard to beat.
Yeah, no question. So do you think this, you know, this involvement in the gambling side of it gives you more, makes you more in touch with the customers, you know, who are ultimately the recipients of the research that you do?
I like to think so. One of the ways that I have always approached research, and now more broadly, just education and our university presence in gambling, is to make sure that we're always thinking about every single person that is affected by whatever it is that we do. So, one, we study the industry. That's really our big core. I hope the video right now is capturing the background, We look over our big laboratory. But also everything else that goes into it. And a huge part of that is gamblers themselves. And if you don't think about what gamblers want, and there's a whole variety of different things,
sure,
depending on what games you're playing, if you're talking about problem gambling, if you're talking about professional gamblers, everybody has different wants and needs that go into the gambling activity,
yeah,
and we would be remiss if we didn't take everybody's thoughts into account.
Right, okay, great. So let's talk about some of the initiatives that have happened over the last decade here,
yeah,
and how they're going to go forward. And let's start with sports betting, obviously. The repeal of PASPA back in 2018 was a major milestone for the industry, but we really didn't know that much about sports betting. You started doing some research. In fact, I interviewed John Ford, the senator from Indiana, a few,
yeah,
weeks ago, and he credited you and LV to making him understand, mm-hmm, what sports betting was all about. Is that still ongoing? Obviously, we need a ton of more research.
Absolutely. This is something that we're regularly looking into. We have a handful of different research projects that come out of this. And the biggest thing that we do at IGI is with regard to education on sports betting. And,
mm-hmm,
that comes through our International Center for Gaming Regulation.
Right.
They have ongoing classes on sports betting and regulation. Mm-hmm. This is something that regulators have quite frequently attended, as well as, for example, industry folks who want to know what regulation is looking like,
right,
all across the U.S. and a little bit broadly, too, across the globe. So they've been incredibly busy with that. Once PASPA was overturned, that was an immediate addition and,
sure,
very popular addition,
yes,
to
for sure,
the educational program. They have these classes fairly regularly now,
mm-hmm,
and they are always sold out.
Right.
They're extremely,
yeah,
popular. There's clearly still a lot of need for this, and we're filling it, I like to think, quite ably, especially through,
sure,
the regulatory,
absolutely,
center.
So how about responsible gaming? Becky Harris is in charge of that, you're correct?
So right now, with responsible gambling, Bo is still contributing to it.
Right.
That's a big pet interest of his, as well as Alan Feldman, who,
right,
has been working,
mm-hmm,
for IGI for about 3.5 years now.
Right.
He was sort of, retiring, one foot out the door with,
right,
MGM, and we did what we like to do at IGI,
sure,
which is say, oh, you're retiring, or you're leaving your position.
Right.
Why don't you just come hang out over here a couple blocks away?
And yeah, you've done that with a lot of people over the years.
We,
yeah,
have indeed, and Alan's one of them. So Alan really is leading our responsible gambling,
okay,
initiatives right now, and we have a few others. I work on this too.
Mm-hmm.
Bo works on this, as well as a few other folks across UNLV who have different interests,
sure,
in,
sure,
the area. So this is everything from research. We have a handful of research projects. For example, going back a few years, we had a 5-year project with MGM,
mm-hmm,
looking at the GameSense program,
right,
to all sorts of different trainings. We have ongoing responsible gambling ambassador training,
right,
that we've done, for example, with Sands for over a,
mm-hmm,
decade now, as well as a variety of other participants all over the U.S. We've worked with San Manuel.
Sure.
We've worked with Warhorse Gaming, so a few different groups all over.
Right, right. San Manuel gave you a nice donation to get into that a little deeper.
Yeah, we have a huge initiative at UNLV that is sponsored by San Manuel,
mm-hmm,
and this is across a few different entities on campus, actually,
right,
including our hospitality college and the law school, to look more broadly, too, at tribal gaming law, which is quite fascinating and different, right?
Right,
it's,
sure,
not, you can't just apply one thing to everything else, and so it's been really neat to see how UNLV has really grown into the gaming space.
Sure. And you also have the initiative on the regulatory process as well. I think that's
mm-hmm,
very much so needed these days. Richard Schwartz, we were just speaking out,
yeah,
has been very critical of the process,
yeah,
now, just making it a political plum in most states,
Mm-hmm.
So how are you really addressing that issue?
That's something that crosses over everything that we,
mm-hmm,
do. So it's... Our old friend Bill Eatington once,
right,
said, right, that gambling exists at the whim of the government, at the,
right,
whim of the,
sure,
legislators, the regulators, because for such a long time when it didn't, it was, well, let's just say fairly corrupt,
right,
and,
right,
as Lake Mead levels go down, we find a handful,
right,
of bodies, and but now it's so much different.
The, yeah.
It's a much more corporatized, and the gambling world really does work within a regulated space,
mm-hmm,
and so it's hard or almost impossible to do any sort of work in gambling without recognizing,
right,
what it looks like due to whatever regulations are in place,
mm-hmm,
there. So we have a variety variety of different projects that touch on all of this. It always is touched on in our research, as well as a variety of other things. So you mentioned Becky Harris, for example. She's been doing a lot of work with Nicolgees to work on a few different areas. Responsible gambling is one. Alan Feldman contributed to that, as well as Jennifer Shatley, who was working with us through last year. And Becky also has been pushing quite extensively into the DEI area. So in addition to the work that she's been doing with Nicolgees and providing a lot more information on that, both through different research projects and presentations at their conferences, she's also actually running a workplace development study right now that looks at all of these different issues and how they're present in the gaming industry in Nevada, as well as more broadly across all industries in Nevada.
Nonstop thrills meet fast-awarding jackpots. Money Mania keeps hitting, now with over 250 jackpots awarded. IGT has expanded the Money Mania portfolio by adding two more themes. All four themes now feature two wide-area progressive jackpot levels, an in-game player awareness messaging, an exciting look and respin jackpot bonus, and a bank-wide wheel bonus. These games are built for long play sessions and maximum excitement. Get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information.
So you were in charge of the esports area, and that's kind of a controversial area in gaming.
Yeah.
You know, haven't been able to really make that connection here, but it's such a popular thing that kids do, that young people do, not kids, right?
Yeah.
But now I understand the median age is in the mid-30s, you know, of esports players. So, you know, where are you going with that initiative right now?
First, a huge thank you for calling me a young person. I'm extremely flattered. it's really all over, and you're right. It's been widely discussed. You know, I remember going back around like 2014-ish, and I was talking about this. I loved it. I was playing many of these games. And our friend Richard Schutz goes, "Oh, Brett, you know, you're kind of a nerd." And I'm like, and? Yes, we are. Very good. Let's continue. You know, and so it's been so neat to see this subject be embraced and discussed. You know, I don't expect everyone to agree on different things.
Right.
And you're right. There's really been a struggle with trying to figure out how to incorporate esports into not just a casino setting, but more broadly into a general kind of gambling offering.
Right.
We've seen a few different sports books just add an esports vertical within their book. We've seen books completely dedicated to esports and take up with the kind of gaming community before expanding into betting as well. And then more broadly, we're also seeing a variety of different gambling elements in games. Some of those are indeed monetary gambling, and others are more sort of chance mechanisms that are being treated as gambling depending where you look. And so those have been really fascinating to watch. All of this has been quite central around the big kind of question mark that you posed, which is age, and how does that come into play? And that's something even that yesterday, actually, so I don't know when this will air, but today is January 12th. So yesterday, January 11th, the Nevada Gaming Control Board met and voted on the recommendations from the Esports Technical Advisory Committee that would put esports underneath Reg 22, which for those of you who are...
You remember that committee.
Yes, I was a member of that committee.
Let's get that straight.
And so for those who are not from Nevada, Reg 22 is the reg that we have under which pretty much all race and sports fits under, and how that then fits in. So it really streamlines how esports can exist within a book in Nevada. And I think that it will hopefully kind of set a standard for other states who are thinking about how this might be set up, such that it starts to grow esports into a better understood and more legitimized space for betting, which has all sorts of different positive ramifications between the ability to regulate it better, monitor integrity much more easily, have more access to things like data that are associated, bring a lot of the negative externalities, like problem gambling, out into the light so that we can actually deal with these and hopefully prevent them. So I'm really thrilled that this has passed, and I'm also hopeful that the board wants to continue with the committee to discuss all the other different areas that gambling exists in this space.
Right. Well, you know, I've spoken to a few people who are involved in the gambling area of esports, and they seem to be pretty convinced that it's going to be, strictly online betting. That 95% of the wagers are going to come through online. So that's an important issue too, but it also gives it a certain amount of transparency.
I agree too, and that's something that esports has that it is quite unique. Is that it's everything takes place in a digital setting, so everything is captured.
Right.
Multiple different points of view. Everything exists within that digital sphere, and so we're able to see what's going on all the time. And I get pros and cons of all these things, right? But I agree. I think that this is a space that really has a presence online. Mm-hmm. I am quite bullish on it being a very big online vertical. It already is in a lot of parts of the world, and now we're sort of figuring out here in the U.S., how do we make that happen? And that's, you know, a lot of it's also just tied to how we're expanding into online now and still sort of figuring it out.
Yeah, no question about that. So let's talk about the Center for Gaming Innovation.
All right.
Dr. Mark Yoseloff founded that, about 10 years ago now, I guess, huh?
He is.
And, he was a brilliant table games expert in the industry for so many years. So what's the future of that right now?
It's great. So right now it's run by Dr. Dan Saul. Mark has since retired.
Right.
And Dan is running it quite ably. We actually have now filed for we've acquired over 25 patents.
Yeah.
They're well over $1 million in sales. I believe we're set to even potentially hit $1.5 million in sales this year, which is fantastic for something that started out as a class in the first floor of this building here, sort of a general idea, and it's really doing quite well. We have the DraftKings Game Studio that DraftKings sponsors, and so there's a lot of games that come out of that, and the class is now offered every semester, not just in the fall, so that students can continue working on projects. And the center itself now has, I believe, four or five students who work directly with Dan to be able to continue into this game development. And it's really grown from a place that started with the core idea that's still there, right?
Sure.
You come in, you have an idea for a game, or maybe you don't have an idea for a game and you start building it during this class, to get to a point of having an actual product that you can demo and potentially get a patent for and sell.
Sure.
And they've really grown from that into a place where they have gambling games, they have mobile games, we have a few VR games in development.
Right.
We now have a dual VR rig in our gaming lab. And so they've really expanded not just the types of games they can produce, but also the platforms on which you can consume them.
Great. And some of these games have actually become commercially viable.
Yeah, and a few of them are out on the strip right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I went to the debut of one at the Plaza downtown a few years ago.
Oh, fantastic.
It was exciting.
We're coming out of COVID. We got to start doing that again.
Exactly, right. So, you know, as a university, obviously your mission is to prepare students for the future, you know, and certainly UNLV, you know, at least a third of the executives in the industry check the box at the UNLV at one point, you know, and most of them have degrees. So you know, how do you see your role in developing that to continue to develop more of these executives?
Hugely important. This has been a long time feeder into the gambling world, and I find that to be very important. We are the university that's in this town, right?
Yeah.
And we're one of only two really at this level in the state, and so it's a huge responsibility to be able to continue producing this workforce for not just, you know, a couple blocks away, but for all around the globe.
Right.
And there have been a few different growing pains through COVID. So, for example, we don't have as many international students as we once had, but it's been really wonderful to be able to continue to develop both our research arm and our coursework arm.
Right.
For example, the Center for Gaming Innovation, like I mentioned, they have a class each term. And some of the things they're teaching in that class, it's more than just, for example, you know, learning how to work at a front desk or do service industry work or you know, deal at a table. Those are all extremely useful skills. It's also to think innovatively. It's teaching you how to continue to grow. So as we continue to evolve in the future, long after you've left UNLV, you're also continuing to learn and grow in your role wherever you are and eventually lead the executive arm and continue to check those boxes of attended UNLV. And I bet we could get even more of them if we add like guest lecturer or visitor or so, you know, something like that, because exactly, we love having everybody come visit us over here.
I know Bill Horokel is a frequent visitor here, a graduate now, the CEO of MGM Grand.
Indeed, MGM and he's always welcome back.
Right, of course, no question. So let's talk about a couple of the events that you at least partially put on. Mm-hmm. And there's one coming up in May, the conference on risk-taking and gambling.
Yes.
Started by Bill Eddington years ago. And it's always been my favorite conference because it's so eclectic. There's so many different viewpoints and studies and things that are presented. And it's just very interesting. So obviously that's going on this year. Tell us the dates and where it's being held.
Absolutely. And thank you. We also think it's the best one.
Yeah.
So the 18th International Conference on Gambling and Risk-Taking will be May 23rd to 25th of this year. It will be at Park MGM. If you're interested, please, please reach out. This is the oldest and biggest gambling research conference that exists.
Yes.
So this is, like you said, founded by Bill Eddington, the father of our field. Mm-hmm. It dates back to 1974. So we aired a little bit. We're in our 49th anniversary. We couldn't hit 50th. We do this every 3 years, and we do that on purpose. We want to make sure that everyone's bringing their best and most developed, interesting work. So we have a call for proposals. We get abstracts from researchers all over the globe. At our last conference in 2019, we had 34 different countries represented at this conference. And we usually end up around 50 to 60% academics who are coming and presenting their research work. And we also have a ton of different folks from the gambling industry, from peripheral industries like data, payment providers.
Sure.
We get a lot of legislators and regulators who come. We get different public health folks, clinicians, lawyers. We offer CLEs to lawyers as well as CEUs to clinicians. Mm-hmm. And it really is the place where all subjects are welcome.
Right.
We usually have quite a few presentations on problem gambling addiction.
Right.
This is by far one of the biggest research areas when you delve into gambling research. And we also get all the really interesting folks who come out of the woodwork every 3 years. And for example, we get mathematicians who come out and talk about, here's how I beat the latest NBA season, or here's a new game that I've invented, and here's all the math behind it.
Right.
And it's just so fascinating to see all of these things one after the other after the other. And we try to put together a space where you can talk about whatever you want in gambling.
Right.
This is a place where all the subjects that might be like you said, eclectic, a little bit too off to talk about anywhere else. Maybe you didn't feel comfortable talking about it at a business conference or it just didn't quite fit in at another academic presentation. Here's where you can do it. And here's where you can talk about it. Yeah. It's a place to have different perspectives and debate and discuss. And we really enjoy that. And we really also emphasize that risk-taking piece as well. Because clearly, you can't have gambling without risk-taking and vice versa.
Right.
So in 2019, for example, our keynote was Penn Jillette.
Right,
talking about the different risks that he takes, what it's like to be in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
He and Teller get up on stage and shoot guns at each other's heads. So, you know, a little bit more of a risk taker than I am with my poker and sports betting and video game play. But it was just fascinating to see how all of this can come together and then underpin all the other things that we all do as individuals.
Yeah, yeah.
All together in one place for 3 days.
Yeah, no question. I'm looking forward to that this year for sure.
Wonderful.
So another thing that Bill Eddington started and you guys have inherited is the executive development program that you hold every year, and it's a very limited amount of people to that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what is it, about 50 or 60 people?
Yeah, we usually cap at 60, and even 60 starts to get to be a little big. Usually we end up between about 35 to 55, depending on the year. And it's such a spectacular program. You know, we've mentioned Bill's name a few times, and I cannot sing his praises enough. I wish he were still here with us.
Mm-hmm. That was a
Just
great
a
loss.
Brilliant guy who looked for what the industry needed, who looked for what regulators needed. He was so aware of all the different stakeholders.
Right.
And the executive development program, it is almost like the culmination of that. I think we're almost in our 30th year now, if not past it, with EDP. And it's such a great place where people come in, it's a boot camp. You basically shut away the rest of the world and work on projects together with folks from all over the world. We had to do it online in 2020, and it, don't get me wrong, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But now that we're back in person, we just were back in person for the first time in fall 22, and it was great. It really is just a spectacular place to come and learn from a veritable who's who of the gambling industry who come and talk about everything leadership.
Right, and not only the speakers, but the participants. I mean, if you look at the names of the participants over the years, I mean, these guys are CEOs and chairmen of big gaming companies, you know,
and
some of them even beyond gaming. So it's a pretty amazing program, and everybody who's gone through it says you know, it's been a real changing point in their lives.
It is. It's really, it's designed to be that. It's designed for people who are in kind of high management director type roles to move into the C-suite. And we also get folks who are in the C-suite already who come to this program and build skills to continue what they already do or even move up into other bigger organizations as well. And it really is a place where you're able to do that with others who are at the same level as you with same similar goals.
Right, no question. Well, I have one more question. You know, UNLV is known as really the gaming education capital of the world, for sure. I mean, there's no university anywhere around the world that focuses on gaming that much. And I really think the IGI is the heart of UNLV and their gaming programs.
Thank you.
So what are your plans for expansion or just really maintaining what you're doing and making it better?
Well, we're going to start with making sure we do what we do and getting this conference off the ground. Right. It's definitely... another reason why we do it every 3 years is because, you know, we need a little time to recover and then we can go do it again. So to start, we're really about building and bolstering everything that we already have. We're still, you know, I think we'll be saying we're coming out of COVID for a few years yet. And so as we do that, that's what we want to regrow into our pre-COVID and beyond space. And then beyond that, there's a few different areas that I am particular and interested in growing in addition to any others that happen to come up. Like I said, anything under the gambling umbrella is ours, and which is in particular our responsible gambling initiatives. This is something that has become it's no longer like a check the box type compliance issue.
Right.
People are genuinely interested in having a good, responsible gambling program and what they do. And that's something that we've done for a long time. So a big area into which we plan to grow is expanding beyond, for example, the casino space where we've largely lived, into all the other areas where RG can be. And then, of course, my other pet interest is esports. I hope that we do get to continue in that. I think that it's a really neat space that will continue to grow, not just in terms of esports and competition like we think of, say, sports betting, but also game development, right? This is a place where we've talked about, how many times have you heard the phrase, the convergence of gambling and gaming, right, over the last 5 years or so, where that it is taking place, so there's a lot more there. And then the last thing is in big data. We're at a place in 2023 where it's possible now. We can actually look at large data sets and explore more into what we can get out of those for all sorts of different applications, whether that's industry needs, that's gambler needs, regulatory needs, and that's something big that we're working on now as well.
Great. Well, Brett, the IGI is in really good hands with you. I'm confident of that, and really looking forward to what you're going to go do throughout the years. And you know, you can always count on GGB to be there to help you promote anything you need to do.
Thank you so much, Roger. It's always wonderful to hear.
Great. Thank you.
I'm bluffing with my muffin. I'm not lying. I'm just stunning with my love gluconing. Just like a chicken casino.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, where Money Mania is fast awarding link jackpots that hit over 250 times and counting. Give your players what they came for with our top performing themes. Bring IGT's newest wide area progressives to your floor and get in on the mania. Visit IGT.com for more information.
To learn more about gaming education at all levels at UNLV, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.